The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my awesome family. Was in town this weekend, but we probably still didn't play Magic. Co-host Aramis Bros. Aramis, sir, how are you?
These ones didn't play Magic.
Aw, it's no fun when they don't play with you.
But that being to be fair, one is interested.
What's that?
One is interested.
One is interested? Oh, yeah. So you're getting them started early. Well, before we get into that, we want to take this moment to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They have locations in both Catskill, New York, and now at the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's is 100% the best place to go in New York State for retail, gaming, and picking things up. But if you don't live in New York or you can't get there, they also have an awesome website. You can go to KGS Online, that's Kite Go Samuel Online, or Kerwin's Game Store Online.com. And you can use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout to get 5% off your online order just in time for the holidays. And we also want to remind you that we want to take our second to recognize our rare level patrons: Steve Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Josh, Jonathan, George, David, Anthony, Levi, and Dragon D's Nuts. Ding! And our other... Oh, yeah, I already mentioned Levi. And we also want to shout out our Mythic Rare patrons, Jake and Jonathan, and Imagine Dragon, the sea across your face. I love that name, too. And we can't forget our producer-level patrons, both Jamie and Walter. Listen, we couldn't do the show without these guys. I am so thankful for everything they do. It allows us to do so much. It lets us, you know, up the production values, get better cameras, lights, equipment, you know, cards, things of that nature. Thank you so much. One of the best things about being a patron is they do get first stab at our Wednesday night Commander Craft. That's coming up this Wednesday. Right now, sign-ups are open only to patrons until tomorrow morning. If you're a patron, Levi's already signed up. We have one slot left for game one. Just hop into the Discord, let us know you want to play in the patron channel, and we'll sign you up. Otherwise, tomorrow, hop in the Discord, and we'll get you guys seated for, you know, the any available seats we have. So I'm very excited about that. That's our Commander Craft show that's on Wednesday night, playing Paper Commander over the internet. And we also want to remind you that we are proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers Network of podcasts. We have a sister show, Cantrip Cartel. They're doing a great job. They're getting a whole lot of exposure and stuff. People are really talking about that show. They do put out a very, very good show. They don't do any live streaming right now, but they are looking into it. Hey, Pam, how are you? Just check them out. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/cantripcartel. You can download them on any or all podcasters at this point. I think they're on Apple, Spotify, Google. I'm not sure if they're on iHeartRadio yet or Amazon, but at the very least, they're on the big ones. And you can also hit them up on our Discord. They have their own area right in the Discord, the Cantrip Cartel podcast. You can't miss them. So again, please feel free to check that show out. It's really good. They got a lot going on. They do a lot of talk of standard and or legacy and modern. So they talk about all the old stuff. We wanted to real quick to also remind you, we have a survey. Survey.PlainsTalkersPodcast.com is the survey. Eventually we'll go over those results. We're looking at doing that sooner than later. If you'd like to get in on that, just go to survey.PlainsTalkersPodcast.com and leave us your info. It's totally anonymous, and you know, but it does help out the show in a lot. I do look at those, and I take them to heart. So before we get started, we're still in Untapped, though, and during Untapped, I like to untap. So again, I'm drinking some more Command N. So I think this is my last one of these, which is, you know, so far I don't think it's been too bad. I mean, as far as triples go, you know, I don't start slurring my speech by the end of the show. So, you know, there's that. Down the hatch. But Aramis, sir, before we do anything else, how the hell are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Like you said, I had a quick little break over the week. Had some family visit. My brother-in-law and his wife came up from Tennessee with their son, who shares a birthday and a middle name and the same initials as my son.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, they're only 3 hours apart, so they're twins with mothers from another brother.
Right. Sort of,
kind of. Yeah. Anyway, it's a long story. It's actually kind of cool, but yeah. So they were up, and my son and his cousin played.
Did they pick constantly. Right up from where they left off? And you know,
it was like they it was like they
that often. So.
Yeah, they hadn't seen each other in, I think, 3 years,
which is 3/5 of their life or something
yeah,
like that.
But it,
yeah,
it was, but it was like they had been next door the whole time. So.
Oh, that is kind of cool. So,
yeah, they're on the same wavelength. So like yeah. my son is not good with other kids. He's kind of leery about other kids, but whenever his cousin shows up, it's like best friend in the world has come back, and
they're
just,
like
they didn't
peas
miss
and carrots again.
Totally peas, two peas in a pod. It was really cool to see. Like I said, the one my brother-in-law is fascinated by and interested in the idea of magic. I'm not sure if I'm going to get him to ever play a game.
Have him
but
listen
he,
to the show. Be
he
like,
does like the idea.
Our show.
He knows about the show. He knows. Okay. I'm not sure if he's listened, but he does know about it. Okay. He's a pretty busy guy. It was a really nice visit to have them up. I think they're coming back up around Christmas time.
Oh wow!
So we'll see how that goes.
Should, we should get you down there. So ain't nothing yeah. like Tennessee, man. But the whole different world out in Tennessee.
Yeah. But it was really good. It was a nice weekend, and you know, just back into the swing of things. And as usual, looking forward to Wednesday night. So, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. We had a pretty quiet weekend. We had the kids again because Nick needed to swap for some reason. So, like, we're gonna have now two entire weekends without kids. Which, and the middle, well, right now the oldest, because the oldest is at college. The middle is like I have no living room. The middle has taken it over because her bedroom's off the living room, and she's moving. So she is almost completely packed. We're not sure when her move-in date is, if it's going to be last week in October or first weekend in November. But she gone. She going to be gone. I'm going to have a whole new studio. So again, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have technical issues up the yin-yang, but it should be the last time for a while. You know, I was on call. So this was the hardest on call I've had. At this job, I got called, I think, 25, 30 times, 12 of them from the same user who can't remember how to put in a password, but we won't go there. And,
that's normal.
and well, it's really funny because one of the locations I'm at, you know, we're a contract house. We come in and we take over, you know, and handle like, you know, hospitals and infirmaries for, you know, for public facilities, so to speak. So, you know, we share network and stuff like that and wiring, and one of my locations, and it was one of mine, thank God, and I was the one on call, started going up and down all weekend, and I rushed over there and I got into the server. Finally, I'm like, okay, my stuff is plugged into the wall, which I'm assuming is your wire. So I need to get to the closet and figure out what's what and see if I have to, you know, recycle anything. And I get in there. My switch is covered in water. Like they had a major leak and my switch is just drenched. I'm like,
nice.
Okay. So I'm like, I'm going to try to power cycle it, but I'm standing in a puddle of water, you know, sweeping water off the switch, going back to grab the power cable. I literally look at the guy who had to walk with me and I'm just like, listen, if I die here, just, you know, my wife's numbers in my phone, you know, just tell her I love her. 'Cause I'm like, This I've seen this movie, but yeah, it was just a really, really tough weekend. As far as that, I haven't had a lot of sleep. I've realized I get rather punchy when I'm not sleeping because last night I wanted to screw with my wife a little bit because I was feeling punchy. I, for at least a couple of seconds, had her convinced, or at least considering the possibility that I was from an alternate Earth. I was like, wait. Because I said something, and she responded back, something like, you know, I love you very much, and I would marry you again. And she's like, aw. I mean, I would marry you too again. And then immediately in my head, I'm like, wait, that's not what you're supposed to say. Did I switch Earths again? Are you my Wendy? And she's like, what? I'm like, we still have 3 kids, right? She's like, yeah. I'm like, so we have Isabel, Matthew, and Nicole. And she's like, no, it's Nicholas. I'm like, he's a boy on this Earth? And dude, for half a minute, she's like, wait, what? What's happening? Oh, you got to stop messing with me. And I'm just like, oh, God. Yeah, so it's become a thing for me now. I'm loving life with that. But it was a nice quiet weekend. I got some cards today. I finally got a Commander Staple today. So he's going into a deck. Craterhoof is now going to be a part of things. I'm not sure which deck I'm going to put him into for game two, because let's face it, y'all are going to beat me up on Wednesday. So
I would say to put him in Elves.
Oh.
That's generally that's like one of the standard finishers for elf decks. It's just like, you know, hey, look at all my guys. By the way, they're huge.
Yeah. Well, I'd throw them in Omnath too. Just, you know, I think if it's anywhere you can slam green.
If you're going wide, yeah. you wanna slap a Craterhoof in there, because, you know, math is for blockers.
So let's go from upkeep, because that's what's kind of happening with us. Let's go ahead and get into untap and go to upkeep. Upkeep is where we kind of talk about what's coming tonight. So this tonight's show is one of those weird shows. Not a lot's totally happened. A lot of news came out last week towards the end of the week, but it's also been covered. But we're going to do it anyway. We're going to talk about State of Standard, obviously. Go over some of the decks that have happened. Then we're going to talk some news about the historic bannings they had and the huge secret lair info. We do have a combat for tonight as far as in-person and large events. Main two, if we have time. I want to do a Commander Craft segment, which I still need to build a bumper for, but I want to talk about proxying and where we sit on that. And, you know, this also impacts Commander Craft, our show, but Commander as a whole, and how do we feel about it? So that's going to be our show. Let's get right into the main phase here.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So we like to start off, and actually it's kind of funny. This is a result of our survey, survey.planestalkerspodcast.com. We do like to start off with State of Standard. So right now, taking a look, and here's how we do this, guys, in case any of you wonder. We just use MTG Goldfish. They seem to have the best curated list. And it seems to be kind of almost the standard. I mean, there are other sites out there. There's Untapped and Arena. I think MTGA Zone and stuff. But this is kind of just the easiest to kind of, because it's also the most visual. So if you want to follow along, mtggoldfish.com/metagame/standard hashtag paper. All right. So almost said pound sign. So looking at Standard right now, Standard hasn't terribly moved since Worlds. Oh, actually, it kind of really did. I mean, we've had there are now three decks. There's really three decks. It's three decks and then everybody else. Surprisingly, two are aggro. So, is it control, according to MTG Goldfish, is taking 34.2% of the standard.
I'm wondering if they're combining is it turns and is it dragons.
I believe they are. Okay. I'm taking a look here at their creatures are Smoldering Egg, Goldspan. But is it Churns and is it Dragons do kind of do that.
Yeah. It's kind of slightly different flavors on the same thing. They're both looking. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
I mean, it doesn't have the copy spells that I can see. It doesn't have, the number one deck there. Yeah. The number one deck there doesn't have it. But yeah, Expressive Iteration, or not Expressive Iteration, Galvanic Iteration.
That's the one. I always get those two confused.
Yeah. So Galvanic Iteration's not in this main deck, but I think you're right. I think they're looking at the colors because you don't see it anywhere else. There's a Sultai Ramp deck, but yeah, they have to be. So is it Control, which is kind of like the shell that they're calling, is it Dragons and is it Turns, is sitting at 34.2. And again, it's built around the back of, there's kind of two different flavors, but it's kind of built around the back of, you know, one or two creatures that can become pretty good and have evasion like flying, and Alrun's Epiphany / Galvanic Iteration. It's copy spells and, you know,
and extra turns.
There's some control that you can throw in there, as far as negates and disdainfuls.
Yeah,
and
they're trying to keep things locked down until they can take a couple extra turns and just end the game.
Yep. I mean, Memory Deluge is another one that's a really, really good card. I don't think any of us, I think a lot of us were sleeping on that card when we were going through previews, but that card is a really good card as far as blue goes. you know, the next two decks, Mono Green Aggro, that's a deck I've been kind of jamming with. It's not foolproof. It's not Mono Red Aggro of years ago. It does have ways to beat it. I think because I'm not sure they figured out, I think it's missing a piece. It's missing like a good one drop is what I think that is. I think this could be a whole lot better if they had some really good one drops to throw in there that did something.
There's not really a lot to choose from in this standard, though. That's the problem.
That's the problem. So I do think, though, we'll see Mono Green Aggro do a little something-something after the next set. I won't be surprised. And the next one that is very surprising to me is Mono White Aggro is coming up, which is literally, it is the stereotypical aggro deck. It is, I'm getting things out, turn one, two, and three. Things that can grow into something bigger. Using Elite Spellbinder, I'm going to try to make it so that you can't cast your shit for, you know, the price you want to cast it for. It really is, you know, they're living off the, what is it there? The Luminarch Aspirant with the Maul of the Skyclaves. I mean, Maul of the Skyclaves is one of the best artifacts that you've got out there right now, as far as equipment goes. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, it's Luminarch Aspirant. I mean, it's got the Battlefield Raptor, the Chaplain of Elms, you know, Usher of the Fallen really early on. You slap a Maul on there. If the game happens to go a little bit long, the Intrepid Adversary, you can sort of kick it a few times to make your guys really large.
Yep.
You know, Adeline, Resplendent Cathar, the Elite Spellbinder for a little bit of control. But this is basically, I have a few turns to smash your face, and the Maul of Skyclaves gives me some reach for later in the game. It's very straightforward.
Right.
I mean, there's no bells and whistles about this. This is, I'm going to kill you as quickly as possible, and your job is to try to stop it.
Yes. And I mean, other than that, so that's, you know, they're saying is a control again. That's a combination of two decks. I think if they split this up, it would be much more of a four-way tie almost.
Yeah.
They're saying is a control is at 34.2, Mono Green is at 19.4, Mono White is at 14.1. What I'm really loving about this, and I will say this about the current state of standard right now, is that if you look at this page and you look at the cost of ownership, okay, of what it is to own these decks, the most expensive deck right now, I think, is sitting at $389. And that's almost unheard of. $397, actually, because it's Renin 7. Are you running Renin 7? Okay, it's going to cost you a little more.
Yeah, the Sultai Ramp deck is sitting at $456.
Oh, I didn't see that.
But
yeah.
I mean, you know, that deck's 1% of the meta. I mean, right. if you want to play Mono White, it's not going to, you won't even pay $150.
No.
That's, I think I was actually just going to mention that this is, if you want to play
standard in a long time.
Yeah. It's a cheap format to get into. If you want to get into it. I mean, yeah. Okay. Is it super diverse right now?
No.
I mean, it could be more diverse, I think. Yeah. I do think Epiphany is probably squishing some archetypes.
I think Epiphany is going to get banned. Maybe not before. I'm going to probably lose that bet, but I don't think it's going to be
very
long.
No, you lost. You lost that bet.
No. I still have hope, sir.
No.
Let's still see. Have hope. You never
know.
Oh,
look. I have the restricted announcement open right here.
Well, wait, this one little sentence.
That's
the next segment. We're still in.
Uh-huh.
We're still here in State of Standard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but yeah, the cost of ownership right now, if you wanted
Super
to get
low.
Into standard, now's the time. You know, don't, you know, and I would follow the professor from TIA, you know, TCC, what he's right. You know, Tulare Community College. You can get in pretty cheaply and you buy singles. Mm-hmm. Don't go out and buy a bunch of boxes. Just buy singles. You know, is it control the most expensive card you're going to have? Here's the thing, folks. I would stay away from Izzet Control and Epiphany like the plague. Okay. And we're going to talk about this in the next segment. Yes. Okay. Epiphany is not getting banned until Crimson Vow at the earliest. It's going to get banned, though. I would put money on the fact that it's going to get banned. Everybody's talking about the fact that, you know, Wizards should stop printing turn spells in Standard. Put them in MH, put it in Modern Horizon, because the minute it goes to Modern, turn spells go the frack away. Nobody plays them because they're too damn slow. You know, the fact is, in Standard, though, it can warp the entire meta.
The other half of the coin on that, though, is that if they decide not to print them in standard and put them directly into supplemental sets, they can cost them more aggressively.
Right.
Which would then make them possibly playable in modern.
Right. So that's what I'd like to say. That's where that shit belongs. I'm sorry. That's where that belongs. It belongs in modern and commander and legacy. It does not belong in standard. Nexus of Fate should have fucking proved that 3 years ago. Oh my gosh, the whole country was mad at Nexus of Fate.
Just be glad we're not back where we were in 93 when an extra turn only cost you 2 mana.
I remember.
I mean, you look back at Time Walk and you're like, oh my god, what the hell were they thinking?
I mean, and that's just it. So, you know, and so I'm looking here at the types of deck, archetypes of the deck. And again, it's pretty much control and aggro. Top five are control or aggro, period.
Mm-hmm.
Ramp is in there in the top 10, but it's control and aggro. Combos, I consider the Epiphany deck more of a combo or a tempo deck than I do a control deck. But, I mean, here's the thing. The problem with turn spells is this. Where's mid-range? There's no mid-range anymore. You can't. There's none. Epiphany, or Ultimatum's killed
mid-range?
Yeah. Nobody's playing it. It's 1.3 of the meta. It's not doing it.
0.7%. Yeah. Oh, there's Black X mid-range. Yeah. You have Rakdos down to 0.7%.
I mean, it's just... And that's the problem, is that if you build an archetype, like you build a standard like this, you put these type of cards in with extra turns and stuff, mid-range goes away, which takes out an entire style of play for a lot of players. A lot of players like to play mid-range. I mean, even I like to sit there and be like, I want to churn my cards. I want my cards attacking. I want to churn them. I want bigger creatures and beefy creatures. But at the end of the day, you're also like, you know, eh.
Yeah.
So I would like to sit, I'm of that mind. I'm of the mind that, you know, the problem is right now, it's Alrun's Epiphany. And until they either find a card that can deal, I mean, here's the thing. Let's throw this out there now. Just a question. Okay, there's a lot of cards that send cards to exile. Okay, that send, you know, like with Foretell, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a real problem with the Epiphany deck is Foretell. What if in Crimson Vow they finally print the card that says, remove a card from exile from the game?
I hope they never do that.
Oh, I hope they do. Are you kidding me? If it could, because we could finally get Foretell and we could finally get the damn emblems. Like if they give us the emblem in.
Well, the emblems are a different thing. They're not in exile. They're not even ever. There's no game zone for emblems. They just exist. I mean, I would say that emblem interaction is more important than exile interaction, because we already have a lot of exile interaction.
But this is going to take us to the news, and we can kind of pivot to that. I mean, they talked about the historic bannings, and they mentioned standard bannings on it, where they said that, you know, they're not going to ban Alrun's Epiphany right now. They're not going to ban Asika's Chariot right now because, you know, standard is going to change. There's going to be Crimson Vow in less than a month. So my thinking was, and a lot of people are wondering, okay, is there something in Crimson Vow that can, I mean, here's the thing. If there's something in Crimson Vow that can interact with Alrun's Epiphany, absolutely. Here's what I'm going to suggest. Spoil that now. Spoil it now. Put it out there on Front Street. This card is coming in Crimson Vow, and it interacts with things in exile. This is why we're not banning it. Because, my God, they spoil everything like 18 weeks beforehand. You know, this is the first time I can remember where we haven't had even one quote-unquote leak card. Mm-hmm. You know, like, on one hand, I want to be like, maybe they're coming up with a card that's going to interact with Alrun's Epiphany in the Exile Zone, in the Foretell Zone, or, you know, has some way to deal with it. But, I mean, other than Counter Magic, how do you deal with, unless they got a card like Omniscience or whatever it is there, I forget what the name of the card is, that just rotated out that basically ended the turn. It's like, this turn now ends.
Discontinuity?
Discontinuity, yeah. I mean, that would be the only thing that they could do. They have to either find someone to enter. Otherwise, it's Counter Magic. And the problem a lot of people have with Alrun's Epiphany is, unless you want to play blue and play counter magic, it's like.
Yeah, the problem is, though, that Alvern's Epiphany is blue, which means they have counterspell backup.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know what the answer to that is. I mean, if they keep it up, I'm not going to be very surprised to find out that the next turn spell is a fucking artifact. And they're like, no, you're going to jam this in all the decks. I'm going to be like, God damn it.
Can't be worse than Magistrate Scepter.
Right. But, you know, let's pivot to that a little bit. So State of Standard again, you know, TLDR, Bird's Eye View, whatever you want to call it. It's healthier than it was under Ultimatums and Rogues. And it's cheaper to get into than Ultimatums and Rogues was. But yeah, we're still looking at three decks kind of controlling everything. But, you know, now's the time to kind of get in. I think Azorius Control can come from the outside with one or two helper cards.
The problem is Azorius Control also plays Alrun's Epiphany.
I know it does.
There's really three cards on the radar people right now. It's Alrun's Epiphany, Seeker's Chariot, and Goldspan Dragon.
Yeah.
Those are the three that people are the most upset about.
Yeah, and I get that. Here's the thing. On one hand, I'm like, yes, get rid of Dragon. But on the other hand, it's like, red has nothing. Red is this side of white at this point. Like, they were giving red a whole lot of love for a whole long time. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody's got their color blindness fixed. And like, oh no, green is the color we want to do stuff with. You know, I just... Ay, maron. But... So that's kind of the state of standard. The other big news that happened last week, there was a ban and restrict, a surprise BNR. Nobody saw coming. They didn't announce it. So they talked about standard first. And they said,
yes, they did.
Shut up. I shouldn't have let them talk me into making that bet. I let you, our listeners, you did it. You should become patrons so I can use that to buy Armas's bundle.
You know what? Yeah. So in that vein, I think I should talk about this part. I think I should talk about this
Absolutely.
Part. So in standard for the announcement that was on the 13th of October, so it was 5 days ago. So it's a little old, but still, there were no changes. They did mention Alrun's Epiphany and Aseka's Chariot. They said they've been monitoring standard since rotation and the release of Innistrad. And they're getting close to Crimson Vow. They've been aware of players' concerns about certain cards. I like that I said certain individual cards, such as Alrun's Epiphany and Seeker's Chariot. They're saying after reviewing arena metagame data and recent online events, including Worlds, and considering that Crimson Vow is on the horizon, they've decided not to make any changes. And the most important part, they have said at the end, we'll consider changes to the standard environment if necessary after evaluating Crimson Vow's impact on the metagame, which means two things. One, there will be no bans in standard before Crimson Vow rotates in. And two, you owe me a bundle, sir.
No.
That was the bet. The bet was Crimson Vow.
But I got to Crimson Vow. All right.
I know, I'm not saying now. I'm just saying you owe me a bundle.
Something can happen. Anything can happen. Sir,
not in 3 weeks.
It's happened before, so
nope, it's not happening. They've already said they're not doing it until Crimson Vow.
Yes, and they've nothing's going to be on their word on that type of stuff.
Nothing's going to change between now and Crimson Vow.
And then all of a sudden they come out and they're like, "Well, we are actually seeing that, you know, because they had the arena open this past weekend. I don't know how successful it was, but boy,
double or nothing.
Yeah, no, I'm not doubling or nothing, sir. All right, so." And the big thing, though, so they talked about standard, whatever. If I owe you a bundle, I owe you a bundle. And I really blame our listeners on this because, again, I wasn't sold on that. Huh?
Thank you, listeners.
I was
Thank
not
you so
sold.
Much.
It wasn't a gift bundle, at least. I was yeah, not you're lucky sold there. On that. I really wasn't. I did it for content, sir. And I'm gonna stand by that. And what the hell? I'm going to use the damn Patreon money to do it, sir.
Doesn't matter to me how you do it. You could rob, borrow, steal, beg, pour yourself out. I don't care. You give me a bundle.
All right. So in Historic, however, that was really the big talk of that. They talked quite a bit about Historic. In fact, this is the band. They didn't deal with Legacy or any other cards, just Historic. So they're doing two – and Historic had kind of two levels of announcement. The first being standard, you know, regular old bannings or suspensions. So they announced three cards. Tybalt's Trickery is now banned in historic. Bypass suspension all the way. Banned in historic. They're like, nah, we're not even going to waste time with this shit.
No more of those turn two Ulamog shenanigans. Yeah.
So they, which again, should have been banned a hell of a long time ago. Then a weird one, I think. Memory Lapse is suspended in historic.
That's going to get banned.
Okay, you think? Yeah.
Yeah, think about it. If you really think about it, that's Time Walk.
Yeah.
Counters what they were doing, puts it on top of their deck. So if they tapped out to cast a spell and you lapse it, you just Time Walked. They basically just skipped their turn.
True.
It's as close as you're going to get to Time Walk in a modern format.
Yeah, but then again, you freaking printed it in the damn Strixhaven, you know.
Printed Demonic Tutor as well. Swords of Plowshares, Lightning Bolt. A lot of those cards aren't in Historic either.
They should be. Swords of Plowshares is.
Historic Brawl, yes, but not Historic Regular.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, same with Demonic Tutor, same with Tainted Pact.
Yes. Brainstorm is... Oh, yeah. Brainstorm is also banned in Historic from Suspended. Yeah. So they...
No surprise.
No surprise there. Brainstorm was way too powerful for Historic. So those are kind of like the three things there. And on the thing, and you can find it at magic.wizards.com. It's an article. They do kind of go into like an explanation of why they're doing it. Basically, it was, well, you know, when it was just a couple of things that you pulled from zero, you had the snake and you had the Torment's Crypt and stuff. Yeah, we kind of let Tybalt's Trickery go. But then y'all started using Throes of Chaos and we're like, oh, fuck this. It's basically what happened. So,
well, yeah, because Throes of Chaos basically guarantees that you're going to hit with Tybalt's Trickery, because what you do is, you know, you cast Throes, it cascades, probably hitting Tybalt's Trickery, which then counters the Throes, which then hits Ulamog. It increased the consistency, so it went from being a meme and just kind of annoying to this might actually be good now. I'm kind of glad it's gone, but at the same time, too. I'll admit I played the deck a few times just because it's easy wins.
Yeah.
Because usually as soon as somebody sees like a zero cost spell, they're like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yep. Quit. So, and here's the thing. Tybalt's Trickery should have been banned in Historic all the way around. When you had Ulamog, yeah, I mean, this is a long time coming.
Yeah, that's a hell of a hit. If they didn't have something as oppressive as Ulamog in Historic, I don't think this card gets banned.
No. If they had Crater Hope.
Why not just ban Ulamog?
Because Tybalt's Trickery is a rare. Ulamog's a mythic. They don't want to give away four mythics. And you can still play Tybalt's Trickery in Standard.
Yeah, well, this is just a Historics. Yeah. I mean, they banned Historic cards before that you can't play. Right. Like, you can't play... I don't think you can play Channel anywhere in Arena.
Right.
Unless it's like just like a friendly casual game between two friends.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a little pissed off in that I'm tired of the Arena-only cards. I think those need to go. I know, but as far as Standard goes, I don't think they should be counted as Standard. I was playing today, and somebody's playing an Azorius Flyers kind of deck, and I was playing with Mono Green. I'm like, oh, I should freaking crush this guy, and he drops Wings of Wonder. And I'm like, what the? This ain't in Standard no more. And then
Shock is still legal in Arena Standard because of that.
I'm like, I really don't think in Standard they should be doing that. In any event, so they kind of talked about the bans and restricted. That's kind of it. Memory Lapse makes a ton of sense. Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you're playing blue, you're playing Lapse.
Yeah, and Brainstorm is, come on. You know,
that was never
coming back.
Yeah, there was never. They really were wasting their time putting it on the suspend list because it's just Brainstorm is stupid good.
So. Then they talk about the second part of Historic part is what they're calling rebalancing, which is the whole reason they have these, let's call them what they are. The whole reason they have these Hearthstone cards is to be able to do exactly what they're doing, which is make a change on the fly. So they are rebalancing a bunch of their arena only jumpstart historic cards.
Yeah.
So what they did was, I think the two that they're using are, well, I think they did what? Davriel's Withering.
Davriel's Withering, Davriel's Soulbroker, Faceless Agent, Sarkhan, Wanderer to Shiv, and Subversive Acolyte. Yeah.
So with Davriel's Withering, instead of target creature perpetually hitting -1/-2, it's target creature and opponent controls. So it basically no more skull clamping.
Yeah, no more Vesper Lark combo.
Yeah. So, and then with Davriel Soulbroker, the Planeswalker, they changed. I'm trying to see where they changed it.
The last loyalty ability. Yeah.
Target creature and opponent controls. So they put the opponent controls on it again to, you know, take care of that. Faceless Agent. Yeah. Of the most.
They gave it a +1/+0/+1 boost.
Right. So they made it a 2/2 as opposed to a 2/1 to make it more.
Yeah, they made
playable.
It a little bit stronger.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sarkhan Wanderer to Shiv is they kind of.
The second ability is a +1 instead of a 0.
Right. Because again, nobody was playing. That's just it. They took some of these cards and they're like, nobody's playing these cards. And here's what it is, folks. I'm going to tell Wizards right now what it is. We don't want to spend our wild cards on your little flights of fancy. Okay? We want our wild. The fact that we have to use wild cards at all, like, I think you should have gave these to all of us. I think you should have been like, these are arena only cards. Here. Here you go. You have a play set of these. Build decks around them. Like, I am not spending wild cards on any of this stuff. Because if I'm spending wild cards, I'm going to spend it on things I need. Especially with a new set that just came out. They're putting out so many sets now that I think I have three. I think I only have like one rare and two mythic wild cards left. Because you have to buy the fracking lands. So it's like, no, nobody's going to spend wild cards on this stuff. So, and finally, Subversive Acolyte.
That had the most changes.
Yeah. So
they changed the mana cost. They increased the toughness.
To a black
and
colorless from 2 black. They made it a 2/3 instead of a 2/2. And
it's two abilities have, they changed the toughness modifier on the ability.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, I get it. They say that it was competing too directly with Gifted Aetherborn. Which, again, Gifted Aetherborn is still a better card.
Well, you know? I mean, it depends on what you're looking to do. But yeah, yeah. My problem with all of this, I have a couple problems with this. One, like you, I don't really like the idea of arena exclusive cards because heaven forbid someone tries to go and play paper and they want to grab something like this or even, you know, they're going to a standard FNM and they come with their shocks in their deck. Nope, those aren't legal. What do you mean? I could play them on standard and arena. Well, that's a different format.
Right.
What? Well, since when? Since always. I didn't know that. Sorry. So that's a big feel bad for people trying to make the transition from digital to paper. My other problem with this is specifically with the Davriel cards. People, like you were saying, they spent wild cards to get these because they were playing the Vesper Lark combo. They wanted to do, you know, degenerate things or whatever. And that's the deck they wanted to play. Now that these have been changed, Wizards is not giving back the wild cards you spent on these cards because they weren't banned. They were just changed.
Right.
But if you're playing the Vesper Lark combo, these cards are now useless to you.
And that's just it. I really feel like these cards, I think if you're going to do it, then you give it. This is this is a value added bonus for using Arena. Because yeah, it nobody wants to spend their wild cards on this shit. All right, it's bad enough that you know, Historic Horizons has 18,227 cards in it. It's you know, the fact that it could have been 18,215 cards, like, you know, look, that's your problem. So I'm in total agreement there. I think that's really the problem. But the other big news, let's pivot off of that. So Banner Restricted, you know, it is what it is. Historic's changing a little bit. It's going to be the same as it ever was. They also announced the big October Secret Lair Super Drop. And here's what the one thing I heard that I kind of agree with the historian, I think he was saying that they are going to move away from these little piddly onesie-twosie secret drops. They now want to move to these super drops. They're all super drops. Which, again, stupid. You know, like, make it so that we all have to buy it, you know. You know, so if I want Stranger Things and Mirrodin, I better make sure I have enough money both times, as opposed to 1 month, maybe I'll get Stranger Things, and the next month I can get Mirrodin. No, they're going to make it all part of the same thing.
I mean, you can still pick and choose which ones you want if you don't want the entire bundle.
But if you wanted, like, here's where I fall short. Here's where I hate it. It's like, maybe I want the Stranger Things. But here's the thing. The Stranger Things is okay and kind of cool. But, you know, the Liliana drop looks far more useful, you know, as far as cards that you kind of want to get your hands on. You know, Belzanach, Grizzlebrand, Kotopad, you know, Lily's Contract, and Razaketh. Those are pretty good cards.
They are. Grizzlebrand is banned in Commander.
I know, but still, you know, and, or you might want the Monster Movie Marathon cards, which look incredible.
They do look really nice. They do look really, really cool. I'm not sure which, if any, of these I'm getting. I mean, I think I'm probably just going to get the Stranger Things ones because I like Stranger Things. Yeah. Same reason I got the Walking Dead one because I like the Walking Dead.
I have most of the, I have Gishoth, Ilharg, and Fleet Swallower. But I do kind of like the Anatomy one too because it just looks neat. But
I say they missed the boat on the Monster Anatomy. They should have done Zakama.
I agree wholeheartedly.
They should have done Zakama.
You want to see how those three heads work.
Yes, exactly. You want to see which head is the one that blows up enchantments, which one's the one that gains you life, and which one's the one that breathes fire.
I agree. Well, they probably couldn't get all that wording on there, but so
it's fine.
The Secret Lair has basically all of the main characters, with the exception of Will's mom. So it's got Chief Jim, Dustin, Eleven, Lucas, Max, Mike, and Will. And a Mind Flayer from, you know, that.
You heard about the controversy about this one, right?
No.
No? Okay, so they had to do a ninja edit on this. The Will the Wise card, if you look at the card, I don't know if you've seen the card.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
You see the banners in the background?
Yeah.
The letters used to spell out homo.
Oh, shit.
Because it's supposed to be homecoming. And the unconfirmed rumor is that Will is a homosexual character, but so they changed it. So now it's not that anymore.
Shit.
Yep. But when they announced it, that's what it looked like. So they changed it, and it's like, how did this get past the editors in the first place?
Oh, I mean, they knew that was not, that was not an accident. That's like the Little Mermaid thing. And yeah, that was not an accident.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing. It's like, you're hoping it was just one of those whoops, accidental things.
Wasn't though.
But you can't be sure. I'm going to say, I don't think they meant it. I don't think they did. I don't think the artist meant it. I don't think Wizards meant it, but it's they changed it.
Well, because here's what happens, all right? In a lot of comic art and a lot of computer-generated art nowadays, what they do is you actually draw the entire background, and then it's almost like they're doing cellular-level art nowadays, where you'll draw the background, and then you'll draw the character, and then put him in the background. So I have no doubt, because if you look at it, okay, the way they have the spacing on the HOM, you could see that, you know, where the E would go, the C would, you could see the C flag there. Yeah, that's exactly what they meant, was to put the O there and then the M next to it. I get it, but it's still pretty fucking funny.
I'm wondering too if maybe Will over a little bit.
Either
move him over, or were they maybe thinking that the art was going to be cropped a little differently?
Maybe. But again,
you know, when the artist was making it, maybe they thought it was going to be cropped a little differently. Either way, like I said, they changed it, and they were able to change it only because this is a secret layer. They're able to edit these things. It hasn't been printed yet. Right. Could you imagine if this had been printed?
Oh, this would have been great. So the rest of them.
That's a good thing.
So yeah, I might get these because some of these cards look pretty kind of cool. 11 really kind of looks really, really good. You know, I like them. The next one up was Mirrodin Sanity, which is the artifact lands from Mirrodin.
In pixel art.
Yeah, in pixel art. I don't think that's the $30 You know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they do basic land sets for a while. Yeah. So like the whole point of something like this is, and this is where secret lairs are good.
Yes.
Hey, you have artifact lands in your deck. Do you want to get them blinged out like this? Yeah, you pay a premium for it, but you get really cool looking lands. If you don't like them, skip the lair.
Yep. The next one being Monster Anatomy, which is Fleet Swallower, Goblin, Trashmaster, Ilharg, Protean Hulk, and Gishoth. And they've got like x-rays to show you how the creatures actually work. Mm-hmm. Cool looking. I like Fleet Swallower just from a deck I've been considering is some sort of mill deck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's always fun. The Monster Movie Marathons, 4 cards, $30, might be worth it. It's that Beast Within, Blasphemous cool. Act, Dismember, and Gravedigger's Cage. They look incredible. They're very appropriate for the season. That I would probably get that over Stranger Things just to have an extra copy of Blasphemous Act and Beast Within. You know, then there's Read the Fine Print, which at first I was like, oh, tell me they're just going to, like, we're going to grab the cards with the most letters and we're going to make a secret lair out of them. I'm like, that would be funny if you were that aware, but no, they're doing the Liliana contract thing. Eh, it's all good.
Which, I like this. I think it should have been 6 cards.
Yes.
I think the 6 card should have been, no, the 6 card should have been some version of Nicol Bolas.
Probably true. You're not wrong.
Because that was the fine print that she didn't read, that if she defaulted on the contract, she then had to serve Nicol Bolas.
I wonder if that would be like the secret, like, bonus card that they'll just
throw. You know, that's the thing, that the toss-ins are different. So that would be kind of a cool one for Read the Fine Print. Actually, you know what? That's a really great idea. I hope that's what it is.
Yeah.
I really like that.
And then finally, there's they took the Midnight, the Innistrad lands, the black and white. Oh, no, they're not finally. They took the Innistrad dual lands and they put them into.
Well, these aren't the duels. These are like the.
Oh, yeah, they're like the specialty lands. Yeah.
The activation, the utility lands.
So Moorland Haunt, Vault of the Archangel, that stuff. They blinged them out in the Innistrad style with the black and white.
They look great.
They do look great, but I'm not spending $30. And finally, Thrilling Tales of the Undead, which is Gravecaller, Liliana's Death Majesty, and it should have been of the Veil, you motherfuckers. And Rise of the Dark Realms. So
you're never going to see Liliana the Veil in a secret lair.
I know. But so the non-foil version of all of these to get them in one big drop is $189. The foil bundle is $279. And to get it all, foil and non-foil. So 2 copies of each card, $449. Whatevs.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think I'm going to get the secret lair. I'm not sure if I'm getting foil or not.
You're gonna get the full thing, full drop.
No, just this. I think just this, just the secret lair. I mean, that's not the Stranger Things. I don't know why I keep doing that. Yeah, like, I'm gonna get the Stranger Things. I think for sure. I think it's just a matter of whether it's foil or not foil. The other ones, I don't know. I mean, some of them are pretty cool, but I'm not sure if they speak to me specifically. Like I said, if Monster Anatomy had Zakama, I'd be all over that.
Oh
shit.
Yeah, I don't blame you there.
I'd be all over that. Gishoth, I'm like, I have a Gishoth in my Zakama deck, but yeah.
You don't like it. It kind of annoys you that it's in there.
No, yeah. It's he's in there and he has synergies in the deck. It's just, it's like, he's not, right. You know, it's not a dinosaur tribal deck, but it's just he's in there. There are some good dinosaurs he could hit. But, you know, when I saw this secret lair and I saw a big green, you know, big dumb dinosaur, I'm like, oh, is it Zakama? Ah, nah, it's Gishoth. All right. Yeah. Well, too bad. Maybe next time.
So we're sitting at about 48 minutes. So let's go to combat. I do want to do that. If we drop anything, we'll drop, you know, main 2 to next week. We'll punt that. But I do want to talk about combat. So let's get into that.
Combat phase.
And then again, main 2 might be a quick conversation. All right, so combat phase tonight. Here's what we're thinking. The question I've got is this. Okay, it came out, and, you know, Tulare Community College put it out. Everybody's been kind of talking about it. That Channel Fireball is going to do a live event in November. In-person GP-style event. So a large event. They can't call it GP because it's not officially a Wizards GP. But it's a GP. And I forget what the format is, but I think it's Modern.
Modern.
Legacy.
It's Modern.
Okay.
And
so
Sealed.
Modern. Yeah. So it's Modern
and Sealed. Two main events. Yep.
Yep. It's in Las Vegas. So it's GP Vegas is really what it is. And it's kind of obviously the toe in the water. You know, so... But it's happening in November.
November 19th through the 21st.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to find it here. Yeah. All right, so November 21st. And it's going to be in Las Vegas. And it's, like you said, a Crimson Vow sealed and modern.
Again, Vegas, baby.
Again, why in the hell are we not doing standard so close to a release? I feel like this is a missed opportunity. It used to be the thing to do.
This is a slam dunk for being modern.
Okay.
It's a slam dunk. I'll let you finish your point. I'm going to let you finish.
All right. I'm going to let you finish. Because the point is this. I remember when they used to schedule events like this, and the week after a release was standard because that's Wizards' premier quote-unquote format. And then they would do a modern tournament shortly after. But you would, that first week would be standard to kind of show off what you can do. I think this is a missed opportunity there. But in that being said, I mean, there's the real combat we're going to have here, and I'm going to let you get to your thing, but the real combat we're going to get here is, should this event even fire? Should this be something that we do right now? But why do you think this should be a modern event? We'll do that first.
What have all of the events for Magic been for the last year and a half?
All right, I can get behind that.
Standard, historic, and maybe a
not in paper.
Draft in there somewhere. Not in paper.
Not in paper.
But it's all been online. It's all been standard. It's all been historic.
But it's
we
not
haven't
the same
had
thing. It's
we
not
haven't
the same.
Had an eternal yeah, we haven't had an eternal format since 2019.
Okay, I can get behind that.
And think about it. The last event we covered in March of 2020 was modern.
Modern. Yeah.
Think about it. It's been that long since an in-person event of any magnitude has been done.
Yes.
So in that regard, modern was a slam dunk because people have been dying to play this in paper. I mean, yeah, you can do modern leagues and stuff on Magic Online. That ain't the same. Right. There hasn't been a marquee event in modern in almost 2 years. So this is easy slam dunk. I mean, right. I think the only way it would have been better is if it had been Pioneer.
That's true, especially with the new Pioneer coming out. But let's kind of talk about
your point of should this event even happen?
Yes,
it's a tough question to answer because
I'm just going to say it out loud, and maybe it's because I'm 47 years old. No, it's not time yet. I don't feel it's time yet. I get in-store play. I am down with in-store play. Now, you and I no longer go to Kerwin's on the regular, and I'm so thankful they're still sponsoring the show because we both are of the mind that we both have, you know, immunocompromised and people in our house that were we to catch COVID, it would be a bad scene. And once the numbers started going up, we were both kind of like, we got to wait till the numbers go down. Numbers are starting to go down. I might get back sooner than later. But in any event, I would not feel, I don't feel comfortable sitting in a small store right now. And that's not me being fearful or not me letting, you know, fear overtake my life. This is me saying I need to make the right choice for my family. And I think that's great. Everybody needs to. But I'm not so sure that the time is right yet. I'm not so sure that this is the message we want to send yet. What about you, sir?
I think, like I said, it's conflicting for me. And I think some of what I'm going to say is going to be in disagreement to what you're saying.
Good. That's what combat's for.
But and this situation is one where I think we're neither one of us is necessarily wrong.
Right.
I don't think there's a wrong answer for this one. Right. I will say I am conflicted.
Okay.
There is a part of me, and I think there is also still a part of you that is happy to see this coming back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think one of the biggest reasons that they're doing this partly is because is the state that it's in. It's in Nevada, which is, you know,
warm.
It's warm. That's one thing. Yeah. Now, as far as safety concerns, they do have a lot of things in place to try to keep people safe.
Absolutely. They
What they're doing is they're requiring all staff and attendees to wear masks while they're in the hall. All staff and attendees have to either show proof of vaccination or a negative test result within the last 48 hours for COVID-19. They're going to have plexiglass in all over the damn place, contactless registration. The seating is going to be socially distant, hand sanitizer everywhere. You know, all the queuing and stuff, you know, this is going to be a great test for the companion app. They're going to be cleaning the surfaces on a regular basis. I think they're doing almost everything they can to keep people safe for holding an event like this. I would probably lean closer to the direction that the professor is in, saying it would be nice if they just said, show vaccination or you ain't coming.
Right.
You know, I think with all of that being said, maybe it's time to try and see if this is something that can be done. I mean, you know, there are some concerts that are being played now.
Right.
Some, you know, NFL stadiums are you know, they have crowds but now in baseball and football.
But that's outside. That's well ventilated.
That's outside. Yep. Although they're allowing crowds for NHL games too.
Right. But and NBA. I'm not sure. I think the NBA is too. But mm-hmm. here's the thing. Here's my dilemma. Is that the state it's in too. Nevada, I mean, Las Vegas is kind of in a blue area, but Nevada kind of tends to be a little bit more in the red area. And I don't want to get political here by any stretch. I'm wholly purple where I sit. But it's no big secret that a lot of the deniers as far as COVID and vaccines and the existence of COVID tend to sit in the more reddish area of the country. And Nevada is one of those areas. So I sit there and I go, how clean is this going to be? How safe is this going to be if you have to use local resources, if it's not just Channel Fireball employees, but, you know, if you're bringing in temps or stuff from people from around Nevada, you know, it just, and that's the question. That's the problem I have is that because of those types of questions that you can't really answer, that's where I sit there and go, is the time right? Because there's no real answer to that question.
Yeah,
and no, I would hate to see Magic become a super spreader. I would hate to see that headline of Magic event causes, you know, nationwide, you know, spread of COVID-19's, you know, Zeta variant.
But you I think in that regard, the fact that they have a vaccination protocol, mask protocol, and negative test protocol, along with all the other stuff that they're doing.
It's not going to be. You can't, if there are, say they get 6,000 people, mm-hmm. okay? Yeah, that's all well and good on paper. But in the real world, okay, the NFL can do NFL games and they can track that shit because they have NFL money. Okay, and the NBA and the NHL can do that because they have NHL and NBA money. They're all backed by these billionaires. Magic/Hasbro is not involved in this, supposedly. It is a Channel Fireball event. So I can't trust that they're going to take the steps they need to take to really ensure safety. That they have every intention of doing this.
What would you suggest?
Do it in spring. Don't do it yet. Let winter.
I mean, if they were doing it now, I'm putting that gun to your head. Right. If they're doing it now, what do you think they would need to do? Besides what they're already doing.
I mean, they are capping. I think they said no, they're saying the play will be spaced out. They're not saying they're capping it. I don't see anything that says capping it. There's nothing on here saying we're capping this at a hard 2,000. Okay, it's come and play at a GP. So a cap would be good. A number right there saying we have this many seats because we can only have this many seats. It's the only way we could do it safely. I would want to see, I want to make sure that, you know, honestly, I would like a corporate, but I'd like Hasbro and Magic to be involved. And the fact that Hasbro isn't tells me that they even are like, this is too risky. Right now, you know, I really think without Magic running this event right now, okay, because Magic will have the insurance, Magic has Hasbro behind it, they're a multi-billion-dollar conglomerate. without them sitting behind it, how do you do this? Because Fireball don't have the check for me to be able to write if my uncle, you know, Uncle Reefus, who went out there and played in the GP and then he caught COVID because he was a moron.
There is one thing that they're doing in addition to all this that's okay. Not really, you kind of have to dig for it a little bit.
Okay.
There's no day of registration. You can't just show up and play. You have to register before you get there.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a cutoff sheet for that, but I mean, obviously you can't show up the day of and register for the main event. Side events are something different, but then that's a different animal. But for the main events, you cannot register the day of the event.
Oh no! But here's the thing: no badge needed. The event is open to the public. It's free to enter.
Yes, it's open to the public, but you cannot. I'm just talking about the main event. You cannot register for the main event and play in the main event if you have not registered. If it's the day of, you can't do that the day of. So that would. I don't know how they're handling it for. I think for entry in general, you have to still show proof of vaccination or proof of a negative test.
Yeah, I imagine.
So,
but
you know, so like I said, I'm conflicted. I'm not sure that it's the right time to do it. But I suppose if they're going to do it, a warm weather climate is one of the better places to do it because it'll encourage more people to be outside. Requiring a proof of vaccination and requiring a mask and requiring a negative test. I would rather they just eliminate the negative test requirement, honestly, and just say, get a vaccine.
Right.
It's tough. I don't think your points are invalid or wrong. I think it's one of those situations where if you don't feel safe, you know, wait for the next one.
Yeah, and nobody's
going to judge you if you decide, you know what, this looks really awesome. I want to wait and see what happens in the next one.
It's kind of like what you and I have talked about with regards to just playing Friday Night Magic. That's the only thing mm-hmm. I can think of. You know, we together kind of made the decision to stop going on Fridays. We really loved it, and I miss playing paper.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
But our wives and, you know, our families, you know, we have responsibilities beyond ourselves. And this is not a slam on Kerwin. Kerwin's doing everything they possibly can. They are a wonderful place, and
you
absolutely should go play there if you're in the upstate New York area.
And you feel safe doing so.
Yeah, but that's just it. For me, it's just such a risk because of my age at 47. I don't have the luxury anymore of, you know, rolling that dice. That being said, I have never once said Kerwin shouldn't be holding events. You know, when they came back, you and I were applauding it. I have no problem with store events and small level events. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that right now we should be trying to shoehorn in a GP at the start of the cold and flu season, at the start of, you know, at there's, you know, there may be another COVID variant. Everybody's kind of talking about, yeah, Delta's kind of starting to level off, but I look at this and I go, you know, is it the time? And I guess
really,
they feel it is, but I'm not so sure that I feel, because there are stupid people out there that don't mm-hmm. think they need a vaccine and don't think that this thing even exists. And I lost an uncle, you know, like that sits with me, you know, my uncle died because and I love him, but he was kind of stupid and he went to Walmart without a mask on. He was a denier, you know, like he had a mask on, but he was angry about it. So
yeah, I think
get it.
Just basically for this, it's like you really hope that this goes well.
I do too. I do.
You don't. I don't want this. I don't want this to blow up. I don't want this to be one of those things.
Because if it blows
up,
2022 is done. They won't do anything until COVID is gone.
I mean, I suppose if they were gonna test the waters, now is the time.
I think the spring would have been a better time. I still
spring
say
probably
spring
would have been
would
better.
Be better. I say
yeah,
get
no, I
through
don't...
winter. Get through. You know, you'll have a much larger card pool as well.
Yeah, I don't. Well, it's modern still, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but more people will be vaccinated because here's the thing. Well, here's the thing. You can't. It's getting to the point where you almost can't not be at this point. Like they're not meant. I don't know that I agree with mandates or whatever, but at the very least, you know, the people who most people would be vaccinated. I mean, most people are, but I think you'd see more vaccinations and stuff. I think the spring would have been a better idea.
Maybe.
But yeah. I get it. I get that, you know, this kind of hit us in the spring 2 years ago.
So, yeah, it was late. It was late winter, early spring. Yeah,
so I understand, too, the fear of, I understand the Channel Fireball needs to make money, that they've been hit by not being able to have these events. I get that. And I have no doubt that that's in the forefront of their minds, because their retail business has been doing gangbusters, I'm sure, because we're still buying paper.
I mean, this is with the huge caveat that obviously they're not doing this because they want to make money. They've obviously looked into this and they think that they can do this safely. That's the big thing to remember.
No, they're a business. They think they can make money. They are doing this.
Yeah, but they're not doing this with consequences be damned. They're doing this with the mindset of saying, we've done some research, we've looked at numbers, we've looked at probabilities, we think that this is a safe time to do it here. Maybe not in other places, but here we're going to test it, see how it works. We're going to, you know, see how these restrictions work. I would be appalled if profit was their number one or even number two.
Well, no, it is their number one. You're in business to make a profit. Okay, they're not here going, we want to support magic and be magic, but nobody's doing that. Okay, and I don't think they should. You should be in business to make money. You have payroll to meet, things to meet. Absolutely. I don't begrudge anybody making a buck. And I'm not saying that they're doing this, you know, they're not like, you know, commercializing Christmas. But, you know, likewise, and again, I can understand too, timing wise, they had like one or two events in 21 or 20 and none in 21. All right. They need these type of events to kind of be able to get them over the hump. I get it. It's tough for me because I sit here and go, I'm not so sure that right now, and this isn't like you and I can't go. I'm not sitting here going, well, because I can't go, nobody should go. I'm not that.
Yeah, I have no intentions.
Yeah, we would never have been able to go to GP Las Vegas. This is not, hey, I want to, you know, since I don't feel like I should go, nobody should go. It's more along the lines of, I'm just looking at this from a love of the game standpoint and from a, you know, there's that part of me that's like, if this fires and it goes well, then, you know, great.
And that's great. Yeah. Awesome.
But
I really hope that's the case.
If it fires and it becomes a super spreader, it could shut us down for the foreseeable future. And we already don't know what competitive magic is going to look like. And here's the thing. I think Channel Fireball is doing this also as a test of Wizards is not interested in competitive play anymore. Like, that's an obvious thing. That writing is on the wall. All right. They don't want anything to do with competitive anymore. They want to be the provider. That's it. You know? So I get that. So Fireball might be like, let's try this. Let's try running an event without Wizards. Let's try making it, you know, let's try doing this without Wizards and see what happens, you know, and see if we can turn a profit at this and if we can run this ourselves. Okay. And you know what? In that regards, if they came out and said, we're trying to see if this is going to work, we don't expect to have the numbers we normally have at a GP. So we know the numbers are going to be smaller, which makes this an ideal way to test. If we try this and we can't do it at these small numbers, we know we can't do larger. So, you know what I mean? Like, if they come at it from that, you know what? If they're coming at it from that point of view, absolutely. That makes that to me would make perfect sense. Because I do want to see competitive go on. And if there has to be another league created that doesn't involve Wizards, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, so I salute, you know, but I just wish they kind of waited till the spring. I really do.
I mean, like, as far as like our personal going to stores to play, I mean, the boosters are becoming available. They're going to be available for kids, younger kids, hopefully by next month.
Right.
I'm planning on getting my son vaccinated as soon as reasonably possible. I'm not eligible for any boosters right now, but if that changes, I'm planning on, I'll get a booster. I know my mother-in-law is going to be getting a booster because she hits one of the criteria.
I will be eligible because I work in, you know, where I work in public. So
right, yeah, yeah.
But and, mine was done in April, so I don't get it till December. So
right, so you know, once vaccinations and boosters are done, I'll probably be back in the store at that point because we'll all have full vaccinations.
Right.
And that's the most protection we can possibly have. I mean, there's nothing else that we can really do. If I decide to still not go, that's just a personal decision for me at that point.
All right. And we're looking at a few options as far as stores go. There might be something later on after that one. That's just a little tidbit. But yeah, I think, you know, I don't think anybody really won this. It's a good conversation to have. It's one I think you should have with your play group as well and your people. But you know, we're not going to have a main two. In fact, we're just going to bypass it, because we'll talk about it next week. We are going to talk about, you know, next week probably will be a heavy Commander Craft, you know, style show. And cause I do think a good conversation is proxying. I do want to talk about that, but that'll be for next week. So for right now, let's go ahead and get right into the
end step.
So, while Erebus and I are rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in the boxes, taking the pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this game store, we want to remind you that we have a great Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. I actually did get some Minecraft in this weekend. Just look up the Plains Talkers podcast channel on Twitch. You'll see all the shows we do from this show, the podcast show, as well as our Commander Craft. And I tend to play other games. I tend to stream there quite a bit. I do a little bit of Minecraft. I do a little bit of DCU Online, a little bit of Farming Simulator. I may even start streaming like X-Wing Alliance. I got that installed on my game the other day, and I'm just like, I miss playing this. So you can check us out there, Planestalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Minecrime73.
And if you'd rather interact with the show in a more real-time fashion, you can join our Discord. discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. It's a pretty busy community, lots of people on there talking. Whenever we do Winnabox tournaments, there's gonna be another one of those coming up pretty soon for Crimson Vow. You have to join our Discord in order to join the tournament, so you know, you might as well just do it. Good people to talk to, and hey, maybe you win a box or something sometime.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if Twitter is more your speed, you want to follow the show that way, we'll send out tweets when we go live, and maybe if something else happens, we'll fire off a tweet if it's particularly interesting. Go to @planestalkerpod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is @WRBenson. Now, I don't tweet there a ton, to tell you the truth, but I tend to follow some things. You can always follow us on Facebook as well. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. It's not planestalkers, it's planestalker, because some airplane enthusiast.
Ask me whatever you like.
I love Alexa. And like and follow our page there. Don't forget, too, we also do a playcast on Wednesdays where we play Paper Commander live with two listeners. It's called Commander Craft. We still have one seat available right now for patrons. Tomorrow morning, I'll go into the Discord and open it up to the first, you know, one or two guys that want to sit down. We usually try to fill two games. So check us out there. It's on our Discord there. It's Commander Craft Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern is when we go live with that. And if you want to play, we'd love to have you.
And finally, if you want to send us an email, you maybe have a suggestion about the show, a comment, question for one of us. There's three email addresses you can use to get in contact with us. The first email address goes to both of us. It's podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email one of us directly, you can email will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email me, the email address is Aramis, Aramis, @planestalkerspodcast.com.
And on that note, we do want to thank you guys for listening and hanging out with us tonight. We will be back on Wednesday for Commander Craft, like you said, where we will definitely have Levi, but one other listener. And we'll also be back next Monday with the big show where we'll be talking maybe probably about Commander, unless there's some other news going on. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying again, thank you for listening, thank you for being supportive of the show, and reminding you to keep some of your mana intact because you never know when you need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye now.